You're listening to ayahuascapodcast.com.
I walked in, entered the room, and there was this lady. She was in her mid-50s, and she was just very, very emaciated. She was very thin, very frail. She was a cancer patient, and I went to go pick her up, and, you know, I'll never forget this moment, but I was picking her up, and she was just a skeleton. And I picked her up and put her on the gurney. And then my partner started doing his assessment. And this lady was taking over 60 prescription pills a day. That was a very defining moment for me where I realized that this reality is broken in some aspects.
In this episode of Ayahuasca Podcast, we talk to Chase Hudson, founder of Hemp Lucid. We talk about how psychedelics can help you in your entrepreneurial journey, how CBD products can help you overcome addiction to pharmaceuticals in preparation to ayahuasca retreat. We talk about misconceptions brought in by war on drugs and cultural shift that we're currently experiencing, and so much more. I'm sure you will enjoy this episode. Hi, guys, and welcome to ayahuascapodcast.com. Today, our guest is Chase Hudson. Chase is the founder of Hemp Lucid. He has an amazing story of how he went from being a firefighter, EMT firefighter, to an entrepreneur. Chase, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and connect with you.
Chase, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your story, and how did you become a firefighter and how you went from being a firefighter to an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So I grew up in Colorado. I've always had a knack for wanting to help people. I got involved early in the fire service, right around middle school. My dad had friends who were in the fire service, so I spent a lot of time in fire stations in the city, and ultimately became part of a program called the Explorer Program, which was a junior firefighter program where we got to do ride-alongs with the fire department in Colorado Springs. And I did that about all through high school. Graduated high school, decided to come out to Utah. At the time, Utah, and I believe they still do, they have one of the best fire science programs in the country. So I came out here and got my bachelor's in public emergency service management with an associate's of fire science and then also wildland science. And then from there, I started my career in the fire service. So I spent 8 years working in the industry. I spent a majority of my time working in wildland fire. And then I did 2 years of structure fire where I worked on an ambulance. And from there, I'll just give you a quick story. So kind of my initial path of awakening was we ran a call on a general assist, and this lady just needed help going to the hospital. So we show up at her house and we go back to her room, and my partner was walking down the hallway as I was, you know, walking towards the room, and the look on his face was like something was really, really wrong. So I walked in, entered the room, and there was this lady. She was in her mid-50s, and she was just very, very emaciated. She was very thin, very frail. She was a cancer patient. And so I went to go pick her up, and, you know, I'll never forget this moment, but I was picking her up, and she was just a skeleton. And I picked her up and put her on the gurney. And then my partner started doing his assessment, and I was talking to her daughter, and her daughter handed me two Walmart bags full of prescription pills. And this lady was taking over 60 prescription pills a day. And that was a very defining moment for me, where I realized that this reality is broken in some aspects. To have this lady be taking that many pharmaceuticals, it was not okay. And that was the moment that I realized my purpose is bigger. You know, being in the fire service was great, but I realized I was just a spoke in a wheel, and I was helping a little bit, but the that I wanted to have on this world, I was not going to get within that industry. So I left there. At the time I was working in New Mexico. I left New Mexico, moved back to Utah, and did another year of wildland fire, and then ended up finding CBD, and that was the start of me becoming an entrepreneur.
That's a great story, very inspiring. And yeah, I will talk to you later about this, the pharmaceuticals and then the role CBD might play in helping people get out of that. But as in your formation as an entrepreneur, you started, at which point did you start working with plant medicines? I know you worked with ayahuasca, iboga, obviously cannabis products, ketamine. Can you tell us a little bit about your, let's say, psychedelic journey, and which role has it played in your formation as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so you know, my psychedelic journey, you can say, started with CBD and cannabis. I mean, I think CBD is extremely powerful. You know, it's, you know, obviously not part of the family of the classic psychedelics, but it is powerful in a sense where it starts to connect the mind to the body. And that's what I started seeing when I was first introduced to CBD, not only within my own body and how my health was really transforming, my mental health was transforming, but then also, you know, everybody around me, my friends, my family, everybody started to get this transformation mentally and physically with CBD. And then I had this guy kind of come into my life, very interesting guy, who showed me how to utilize all these medicines and all these tools in very specific ways. And he really helped me deprogram my mind from the propaganda of our culture and also the DARE program. I mean, the DARE program, I don't know if, you know, you grew up and were involved in the DARE program, but that program was, I mean, it's one of the most crafty, intelligent ways of propagandizing people to keep them away from these powerful tools. I actually played a drug in the DARE play, which I think back, it's like, it's so funny now. But this guy taught me how to utilize these medicines and how to use them, when to use them in a ceremonial setting, how to stack them, intention. And from there, I spent, you know, really about a year working with these tools and medicines to, you know, deprogram my consciousness and kind of reprogram my mind. And you know, one thing that, you know, these tools are very powerful for is, you know, removing the propaganda and lifting the veil and connecting with yourself and connecting with the higher power. And yeah, from there, I mean, the company really started to grow. You know, I was really fortunate to be in a position to take there's three other founders of the company. And we ended up doing a founder's retreat down to Peru, where we spent 2.5 weeks doing ayahuasca, which was extremely healing for all of us. I mean, that really opened the door for, you know, ayahuasca is so great for just peeling back the layers and peeling back the layers of trauma, like, all the way from childhood. So we continually like to sit with that medicine and, you know, get our yearly cleanings. Yeah, and then, you know, I've also been fortunate enough to be part of a documentary with Lamar Odom. There's a documentary we did called Odom Reborn, where we took Lamar down to Mexico, where he did an ibogaine treatment, a series of ketamine treatments, and then high dose CBD. And that documentary, just, it lives on YouTube if anybody wants to go watch it. But that was my introduction to the power of ibogaine. I also sat in that ceremony, and that was also very, very, very transformative, extremely powerful medicine. And then that's also where I was introduced to ketamine, ketamine assisted psychotherapy. I didn't know, ketamine didn't even come into my kind of my sphere of awareness until we started on this documentary project. And at the time, to have a legal psychedelic that was really all over the country. I mean, clinics were offering it, and I had no idea. So I started utilizing ketamine for some of my issues, you know, traumas from the past. And I saw how transformative it was for, you know, not only myself, but Lamar. And then, you know, because I'm in a fortunate position of, you know, owning a company, we decided to offer ketamine assisted psychotherapy to our employees. And so we created a program with Dr. Reed over at Numinous, a corporate mental health program that we kind of put that together over the course of a year and a half, almost 2 years. And it's a program that they offer to corporations today. And yeah, I mean, I'm just, I'm a fan of all these medicines, you know, as we're living in this time where Western medicine hasn't been a total failure, but it's, you know, it's been a failure to a lot of people. And it's kind of intriguing and exciting to see these medicines from the Amazon and, you know, just medicines from the earth making their resurgence and, you know, really, really having an impact on people's physical health, but also their mental health.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. At the same time, we're living in a challenging time and there's a lot of issues and mental health crisis, but also we never had that many tools as we do now. Ayahuasca, spirituality, everyone has access to YouTube. You can see meditations, breathing exercises, you know, go to one of your stores, get some CBD, come to our retreat, do ayahuasca. So it's like the challenges are bigger than ever, but also the solutions are better than ever. You mentioned that guy that taught you everything. Maybe after the interview, you can tell me who he is. He sounds fascinating. Maybe I should try and interview him. How do you say this program was called, where they made you enact like scenes as a kid from regarding drugs?
The DARE program.
DARE program. So I've never heard about this before. Obviously, I'm not an American. But the war on drugs and, you know, drugs being Schedule One and psychedelics as well, that definitely touched my culture as well, because I remember growing up, I was very sure that all drugs are bad. And if you take any drugs, you're basically going to end up under the bridge, your life ruined, slippery slope, terrible. So my first, you know, drug, I don't call it this way anymore, but I used to, was ayahuasca, and I was scared. I was like 50% sure I'm going to die or become an addict. And part of the reason for this podcast is to kind of like remove this misconception and educate people on, you know, there are drugs, but there's also medicines. And as I like to say about ayahuasca, it was a medicine for 5,000 years. It's only been called a drug for like 45. It's a misconception. So,
right.
So Yeah, you opened so many topics and answered so many of my questions that I was going to ask. But let's go back to your beginning, right? You were a first responder, and right now, after all you've done and everything you experienced and your work, obviously, what do you think about first responders and psychedelics? Because we get a lot of first responders here at Lawira, and they're in urgent need for help because of how traumatized they are, but they also seem to not be allowed to express that because of some rules. What are your thoughts on that?
The emergency service field, I mean, really all over the world, but particularly here in America, is very challenging. Firemen, police officers. I'm even gonna throw in nurses. As well as veterans, people in the military. But I'll
Other
just,
than teachers as well, they're
yeah,
coming.
teachers too. Yeah, definitely. But I'll just speak about, EMS and kind of the public safety sector. Tremendous amount of trauma. Tremendous amount. I mean, the public sector, EMS, police, these guys don't get enough credit. What they're dealing with every day. I mean, they're dealing with the I would say the a sector of our culture where some of the most suffering is happening. And so on a daily basis, these guys are seeing suffering on a level that the general population and the general public just, I don't think they realize, or I don't even think they could comprehend if they had if they had a peek into that world. And one thing that is extremely unfortunate in that sector is you have to become numb. And so a lot of these guys, police, firemen, they're walking around, their bodies are physically numb because they've had to create these protective mechanisms to protect them emotionally and feeling wise for what they see and deal with on a daily basis. So there's a tremendous amount of dissociation in this field, and that's why I believe we see so many divorces, we see a lot of suicides, and I think that is a major contributing factor to those statistics. So with psychedelics and these medicines, they teach you to start to be vulnerable, start to peel the layers back. Start to look at your traumas and really start to connect, the mind to the body, to where ultimately you're able to start feeling again. Because feeling is, it's one of the greatest gifts of this life. And just walking around numb is a complete disservice to, ourselves as human beings.
As one of the veterans told me after he's attending this retreat, he says the VA, they care for you not to kill yourself or hurt others and be productive. If you are that person, you're already success in their lists. And but no questions are asked about quality of your life or what can you feel. And he said he was so numb that he found himself in the shower with the gun in his mouth. So that's tragic. And also another thing about first responders specifically is in US a lot, and also in Europe, a lot of people that come here, they say they cannot be photographed or can't leave a review because if they are found that they're having psychological issues or taking psychedelics, they're going to lose their job. And it's like it's paradoxical that people who take the most pain and help the most in the society are the ones that are not even allowed to ask for help. So that's
Yep.
very tragic. You as a first responder, you said that you told that story about the old frail lady and the amount of drugs you found on her. I think it's synchronistic, but today I got a call from an older gentleman in the US, and he's trying to come to the retreat. And as you might know, with ayahuasca, you have to quit a lot of medications. And he's also on the painkillers, and there's also a big list of medications. So it reminded me of him. I told him I'm going to interview you today. Maybe I can ask, what do you think about the potential of CBD for getting rid of all subscription medications, specifically painkillers? Have you observed any success in that field?
Yes. And that is, that's why I have so much excitement around CBD, and I think it should be part of everybody's daily regimen. But when it comes to weaning off of pharmaceuticals, particularly pain medicine, so CBD is great for kind of like call it the big four, you know, insomnia, pain, anxiety, depression. Those are the four major things that it works absolutely wonders on. We've been doing this 9 years now. And legitimately every week we get emails or people leaving us reviews or sending us messages through our website on how they have weaned off of XYZ pharmaceutical. And in that process, I mean, that is what myself and everybody here at Hemp Lucid, you know, it's part of our purpose. It's why we do this, to get people off of these highly addictive, petroleum-based, toxic pharmaceuticals. Now, there's a place for them for some people, but, you know, in America, we have a horrific situation on our hands where pharmaceuticals have been overprescribed. And typically what happens when people start taking CBD, it's very, very interesting and pretty cool. Like we were talking earlier, you know, it really starts to connect the mind to the body, and people's bodies will actually start speaking to them and telling them, hey, you know what, you know, you've been on CBD for, let's say, a month now. You know, maybe you don't really need some of these medications. Let's start cutting back. And so what people will do on their own behalf, they will start to titrate off of their pharmaceuticals up until they are either completely off or just taking a very, very small amount. So it takes time to wean off some of these medications, but you know, we've helped, I mean, at this point, I would say thousands of people to help them wean off of their pharmaceuticals.
That's really great. So I'll tell the person that messaged me today to listen to this episode. I'm sure it will help him. Insomnia, pain, anxiety, and depression, that's exactly the issues he's been having. And hopefully this can help him, you know, wean off and then come to the retreat and kind of go and work on the reasons, you know, where is that all coming from? What's the trauma that's causing it? So yeah, definitely going to explore it myself and maybe start recommending it. So, I know you also work with ayahuasca, as you mentioned, you do it once a year, and you also do a diet once a year. Is that true? Like a dieta? Can you tell us about it? And why are you compelled to do it once a year? And why once a year? Just because that's what I tell people, you know, ayahuasca retreat once a year keeps the psychiatrist away, as I like to say.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I try to get down to Peru once a year, try to do a diet, plant dieta. I've had so much success and my healing with ayahuasca and dieting other non-psychedelic plants. And you know, those it's such a unique, magical experience to be in Peru doing these diets and being in ceremony and having these transformative healing experiences, not only with ayahuasca, but the plant that you're dieting. And in every one of my ceremonies, I always get into some very harsh, challenging situations, and my plants usually come to assist me and show me the way how to navigate these tough and challenging places that I get into. I think it's good to do it once a year, especially living here in America, where it's just a constant onslaught of propaganda and fear. You can't go anywhere, or even, look at your computer or look at your phone or drive down the road and have some sort of fear propaganda trying to penetrate your consciousness. And so, I utilize ayahuasca once a year to just clean that crap off, clean the heavy, dark energy, and to bring the light back in.
Yeah, it's interesting you describe the, how we're being manipulated by fear, and it makes us buy stuff and keep the consumerism going. You mentioned that in your Boga experience, some higher intelligence told you to stop consuming social media because you said the brain wasn't ready to handle all this information. Can you share about that?
Iboga was it's I mean, all these plants are super intelligent, but what I experienced on Iboga was just it was it's like this deep, intelligent spirit that was just communicating with me. Like, it was my they call it the grandfather. Like, it was my grandfather giving me these very stern messages, kind of slapping me around a little bit. But yeah, I had this very interesting visual where I was communicating with this like black, kind of like this black mass, and it was like, your brain is filled with about a third of bullshit. And I'm like, okay. And it's like, do you want to know what it is? I was like, yeah, I do. And it's like, well, it's social media. And at that moment, it showed me the creation of my MySpace account, which I don't know if you remember MySpace, but it was like the Facebook before Facebook. So the creation of my MySpace account from the day I created it up until the kind of the present moment. And then it went through my Facebook account, same thing. Instagram account, same thing. And then it also started flashing like electronic billboards, just anything electronic. The main focus was on social media. And it's like, your brain is full with this, and that's why you're having some of the neurological issues you're having. Do you want me to clean that out for you? And I was like, yeah, let's do that. So this big black mass turned into, I think the best way I can describe it is like a trillions of little, these like nano nature robots that went into my head and started physically scrubbing my head and removing, essentially just taking out the trash. And its message was so clear, but the message was, your species is not ready for this yet. It's just, you guys aren't ready for it yet. And, back then it was like, yeah, maybe. But fast forward to today, we're definitely not ready for it. We are definitely not ready for the power that is our cell phones and the power that is of social media. And then we start looking at, all the manipulation of governments getting involved with these corporations and manipulating the algorithm and creating these programs to hit on certain dopamine receptors in the brain. And you're seeing that with like really young kids, like this generation that's coming up right now. I feel sorry for them. We're starting to see a lot of cultural issues, addiction to phones, addiction to substances, depression, anxiety in middle schoolers and high schoolers. The suicide rates are off the charts now. Body dysmorphia is off the charts now. So we're definitely not ready for it, but it is what it is, and here we are.
Yeah, wait till you s till show you Iboga Nanobots the TikTok and the short videos. I was pretty good at ignoring social media, but now it's like every time I go to post a video about ayahuasca reviews and some useful stuff, it just puts me to this video and there you get sucked in. It's so addictive, it's crazy. So yeah, the we definitely, well, psychedelics definitely help. Ayahuasca, it gives you flexibility to quit those patterns and then establish new ones. However, I noticed that if you, after ayahuasca, you go back and actually watch those videos, they can hit you even stronger because the flexibility is kind of neutral. I like what you say about the boga as a grandfather, and I kind of imagine that concept of plant medicine family because the ayahuasca is a grandmother, let's say boga is a grandfather. Mushrooms are children, probably get a crazy cousin, ketamine, and brother, CBD. It's interesting, it can kind of create a functional family, so to speak. Let's go back to the topic of entrepreneurship. A lot of people, obviously, me myself, I'm an entrepreneur, and running an ayahuasca retreat is still running a business, although a lot of people don't really like that honesty and they prefer to say, it's not a price, it's a donation. But I like to be honest. I have a team of 30 people I have to pay, so I need money to do that and build improvements and just being clear about it. So I personally believe that psychedelics can be a great tool for entrepreneurship. But what do you think in your own journey? What do you say to people that think that being spiritual means also being poor and like this stereotype of locking yourself in a cave and not interacting with the world?
Yeah, I mean it's just not how reality works. I mean, reality is built on the foundation of money, and we need money. It's a form of energy, it's a form of exchange, and it's we all have bills to pay. We're all part of the system, whether we like it or not. I think it's really like, what are you using your money for? Like you've got 30 employees that you need to pay. And if you weren't paying those employees, then you wouldn't have a center. And if you didn't have a center, then people wouldn't have a place to come to and get the type of healing that they need. Same with my business. At the peak of our business, we had almost 40 employees, and we were pumping out thousands of bottles of CBD that are helping people with their anxiety, pain, depression, insomnia, helping them wean off pharmaceuticals. So, it's an aspect to reality, and I don't feel bad for taking in money to help grow and expand to offer help to additional people.
Yeah, money is energy, and you can spend money to buy a bigger truck, or you can spend that money into your personal development. And in the end of the day, when you're on your deathbed, what are you gonna more value, the things or the experiences? Or actually, our retreat is very, very affordable. And it's so for the reason, because that's what we kind of try to do. But even then, still, some people, they're like, for some reason, they think that spiritual stuff has to be free, or there's some kind of misconception that, you know, there's some kind of blockage when it comes to that. But I'll share a little bit about my own entrepreneurial journey and then the role ayahuasca played in it. For me personally, what it did, it just made me believe in myself. For basically, I went from saying, you know, if we become successful, to saying when we become successful, but not as a gimmick, as this toxic positivity style thing. But for some reason, I just believed in it. I just, like, it kind of was revealed to me in some subconscious way. It just, I don't even remember the exact moment it changed. And since then, it's just everything you try to achieve, you just achieve it. And it's amazing. What do you think about burnout? Can plant medicines and CBD also help with burnout?
Yes, absolutely. So I've had about 2 burnouts over the course of the last 9 years. And it's psychedelics and plant medicine definitely helped get through that, particularly ayahuasca. I mean, I had a year where just very, very stressful. And my neurological system was actually shutting down. I started to get really, really bad tinnitus, which I still struggle with today, but it's not as bad as what it was a few years ago. And then I started developing, like, all this neurological pain in my extremities. I started developing, like, all these additional frequencies in my hearing. So it's like I had tinnitus, and then I was hearing, like, 3 or 4 other frequencies and, like, these weird buzzing. And I was like, okay, I'm essentially frying my circuits. I need to take a break and repair. And that's when I did my longest diet down in Peru. I did a month-long isolation diet. And I came back after those 30 days just a completely new person. All the symptoms went away. The pain that I was developing in my extremities went away. I still had a little bit of my tinnitus, but I'm pretty sure that is from just, like, eardrum damage, running chainsaws for multiple years. But it definitely helped me heal. And then also, you know, keeping up with a regimen of microdosing, you know, that's also helped over the years. Recently, I went through another bout of burnout, and I actually utilized Combo for that. And that absolutely had an unbelievable impact on my burnout symptoms. And I mean, so much so that I actually just got back from a Combo practitioner training, because I needed to learn how to work with the medicine more, understand it more, you know, self-administer. So it's just, it's an exciting time where we have all these tools that are starting to emerge from the Amazon that have such an impact on our physiology, our biology, you know, our physical health, our spiritual health, our mental health. And, you know, I think that, you know, these plant medicines and amphibian medicines are so crucial and key for helping entrepreneurs avoid burnout.
Definitely. I drink ayahuasca once a month, one ceremony a month. Obviously, that's a luxury of living at an ayahuasca retreat. And I like to say it's gotten really tough at times, really tough. And I think that I definitely recall moments where I would come to ayahuasca for, you know, just help, and it always helped me out. And I think so far allowed me to prevent the burnout. Regarding Combo, I'm a big fan as well. I don't have any tattoos, but this is as close as it gets. For those who are watching, I'm revealing my Combo scars, which I'm trying to arrange in the shape of the logo of our retreat as best as cool. I can. So yeah, I'm a big fan. I mostly do Combo for immune system. It really helps to activate the immune system, not get sick so often. As a combo, as a, you know, learning combo practitioner, maybe you can attest to that or refute it. But what they say is when the venom of the frog goes into your bloodstream through those burns on your skin, it basically makes every cell in your body feel attacked and activate the epigenetic sequences to, you know, start fighting. And then when you remove the poison, it still keeps fighting even though the poison has been removed, but then it kind of kills all those silent infections and it kind of makes you feel better. What do you think? Is that a correct way to describe it?
I would say so. I'd also kind of piggyback on that in, you know, combo is a secretion of peptides. You know, that's all it is. You know, over 100 different bioactive peptides, and they're, you know, peptides are short of chain amino acids, which ultimately end up turning into proteins, which ultimately is what, you know, our meat vehicles are made out of. You know, we are a walking mass of protein. The peptides are bioactive, so they also work within, you know, all the cells, organ structure of our body, of our biology and physiology. Combo is so powerful in a sense that Big Pharma has tried to patent 70 different peptides in combo. But what they ended up realizing is that as they isolated them, they weren't as potent, as effective as like the full secretion from the frog. And so, you know, what enters your body, you have all these little bioactive peptides signaling to all these cells in your body on how to function properly. You know, the way that human bodies used to function 5,000 years ago before the introduction of, you know, this toxic environment that we're all living in, you know, our, especially here in America, you know, you're kind of on the outskirts where, you know, you probably get really good food and water, but, you know, here in America, the food system is, I don't even really think you could call it food, you know, so the food's poison, the water, you know, poison, all heavy metals in it. You know, the air is toxic, you know, what we're putting on our skin on a daily basis, we're living in a soup of toxicity, and all these toxins get in our bodies and it starts to disrupt all of these chemical signals between our cells in our body. And that's ultimately where you end up getting all this inflammation, disease, illness, sickness. And so, you know, combo is, you know, I've been involved with it for about 5 months now, and it's just absolutely consumed all of my free time because I'm so impressed by the healing properties and qualities that I'm seeing in people. And, you know, it really shines on the, you know, the antiviral side, antibacterial, antifungal, antiprotozoa. I've talked to other practitioners that are utilizing it to help people from vaccine injuries. It works tremendously well for people that have any sort of autoimmune issue. So, you know, Epstein-Barr. It works wonders for people with Lyme disease, Hashimoto's. It even acts on cancer. You know, there's peptides in there that essentially don't allow blood flow to essentially connect to the cancer cell so the cancer cell can grow. So I talked to a couple of practitioners that have been working with combo for about 10 years. And, you know, what they're seeing with people in cancer is, you know, nothing short of a miracle. So I think that combo is definitely... It's really taken, you know, the West by storm, but I think that as the pendulum continues to swing from trusting Big Pharma and Western medicine, I mean, it's lost so much credibility really since 2020. And as the pendulum swings into this other area of natural, holistic, plant-based medicines, amphibian-based medicines, it's only going to get more and more popular. And I'm excited to see what the research is going to show here in the next few years around how powerful these peptides are.
Yeah, Cambo is great. And hopefully now you learn how to apply it, and maybe you can add it to your health package to your employees. As you mentioned, you were the first company to add ketamine treatment to your health package to your business. So can you talk a little bit about that? You know, what else do you offer your employees, and how does it help with team, and how do they work better? Are they happier?
Yeah. So, I mean, it really started with the mental health program, which was, the ketamine assisted psychotherapy. We offer that to employees. They can get a treatment once a quarter. If they need, it's optional. It's not pushed. It's up to the discretion of the employee. And then we also do, body work. So I've got a buddy who used to work on Olympic athletes. So employees can go see, his name's Ryan. He's an absolute wizard. We do that. And then, ice plunges, saunas, it's kind of transitioned into people here just purchasing those items and just putting them at their houses. Before, we used to go and do cold plunges at the river. We're in Utah, so right at the base of the Wasatch Mountains, and we've got rivers running down every one of these canyons. And for team building activities, once a month we would go and do an ice plunge in the river. It's fostered this energy within our culture of just unification, trying to become, unified in our mission, our goals, our purpose, and to be able to own a business and try to elevate people outside of just having a job has been one of the coolest aspects of being an entrepreneur and running a business.
That's great. We give our employees ayahuasca, also not forcing them, but once a month. And it's also been very, very great because you can kind of work through the trauma and issues that's been created. And I don't know if in Peruvian tradition they do word circles, but we do word circles, sharing circles after every ceremony. And I find that ayahuasca side, just collecting everyone together and just allowing them to speak, how did the month go? What's good? What's bad? And just vent it out, I think is extremely helpful. What about, let's talk a little bit about CBD again. Why did you choose to form your brand specifically around CBD? And not other plant medicines. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it just kind of give you a little bit of a backstory. So it was about 2017, 2018, right when the Farm Bill went through. It was kind of like a hush hush thing. I mean, it didn't really make it into the mainstream. At the time, my buddy Nate, who's also one of our other founders, he was working at eBay. And, we went down to a trade show in Vegas because we were going to, buy some little trinkets and sell it on our eBay store. And we were down there and we ran into this company that was selling CBD products. And, I was like, I don't get how you guys are selling this. Like, isn't it illegal? Because, I'm thinking that it comes from a marijuana plant. And that cannabinoids were illegal, but since the passing of the Farm Bill, it allowed for the sale and extraction of cannabinoids from hemp. And so we were like, okay, I guess it's legal. So we got some products. We started taking it, started to see results in our body, started selling it on eBay. And the reviews we were getting were just absolutely insane. And so we were like, oh my gosh, I think we really have something here. And it looks like we could be, you know, potentially pretty early. About 3 months in, then the clamp down from the government agencies shut down all third party selling of CBD. So eBay, Amazon, Etsy, they shut it all down immediately. And that was another sign for us that, okay, this stuff is pretty powerful and it seems to be extremely effective. And it seems that these government agencies are pretty threatened by it. And then from there, we ended up finding a really good source out in Colorado who had really good genetics. We started testing their product and, you know, handing it out to everybody in our community. And we were seeing unbelievable results. And that was also about the time I started my awakening with that guy I was telling you about earlier that kind of taught me how to utilize these medicines and purpose and intent. And I just kept getting just beautiful, incredible downloads of humanity needs this. We're kind of in trouble. You know, this is going to be your path for this foreseeable future to grow this business and get this medicine out to as much as possible. And so that's the path we've been walking for the last 9 years.
Yeah, I received a very similar calling with ayahuasca. And even recently, one of my last ceremonies, he was like, you're doing great, but you need more. It's like, that's not enough. And obviously, you can reach way more people with your products. You know, talk a little bit about, for people that maybe don't know that much about cannabis, what's the difference between CBD and THC? And what are the main effects of the CBD?
Yeah, so you have, like, you know, they both fall underneath the umbrella of cannabis plant. You know, medical marijuana is bred really high for the THC content. And then you have this other side, which is the hemp plant, which is, you know, really mostly bred for the CBD content. So THC, that's a molecule that, you know, gets you high. CBD is more of the molecule that helps you ground. It's kind of like the Swiss Army knife of cannabinoids. It's like your general purpose, all well-being cannabinoid that interacts with your cannabinoid system. I mean, all cannabinoids interact with your endocannabinoid system, but CBD in particular, you know, one thing it's really good for is inflammation. And inflammation is where essentially all diseases start to come from. So our bodies get inflamed, our cells get inflamed, and they become weak, our bodies become weak, and then sickness, illness, disease starts to overpower our body's defense mechanism to fight off and rid these diseases. So cannabis is, you know, it's a master plant. You know, the shamans down in Peru, you know, they talk about how it's definitely a master plant. And in dieting cannabis, I believe the shortest diet you can do with it is 6 months. And usually on other plant diets, you consume your plant, you know, once a day, once every other day, once every 3 days. But with cannabis, you consume it once over the course of that 6 months. And then it starts to speak to you. The Icaros start to come, the melodies start to come. So it's a very powerful plant. There's over 140 different cannabinoids in cannabis that all have a different impact on our bodies. So it's not just CBD or THC, but there's CBG, which is great for energy, CBN, which is great for sleep, THCV, which is great for a energy, but also a appetite suppressant. CBDA, which is great as a topical for inflammation. So there's all these different cannabinoids. They all interact with our bodies differently. And, you know, here at Hemp Lucid, we really believe that the future of medicine is going to be these very specific cannabinoid formulations for certain ailments.
Mm-hmm. And talking about CBD, can we talk a little bit about the cultural shift and how you got your mom to try CBD?
Yeah, so, my parents, you know, I think it's probably something, you know, all of us that are in our 30s, we probably share this, you know, our parents probably think we're kind of crazy in what we do. And you start waking up and kind of leaving the matrix and kind of exiting the mainstream and finding these alternative modalities when it comes to healing. And, you know, my parents, very, very stubborn. And again, coming from the era of the war on drugs, you know, it was very hard to get them to just finally take it. And when they did take it, it absolutely had a dramatic impact on both my parents' health. They were able to wean off a few pharmaceuticals, and, you know, their pain started to subside, and they started to become more active, and just, you know, that mind to body connection they actually got to experience. And you know, to this day, they're, you know, I still send them CBD products every month.
Yeah, you know, they used to call cannabis the gateway drug. I'd like to hope that it's going to change to the gateway medicine. Instead of leading to other drugs, it will lead to other better medicines, plant medicines, including likes of ayahuasca, iboga. Chase, it was a pleasure talking to you. Where can people find more about you and your products?
Yeah, so we're, you know, our company's Hemp Lucid. You can check us out on hemplucid.com. We're just about to relaunch our website with a new theme, a bunch of new programs, new pricing. So, you know, definitely be on the lookout for that. You can check us out on all social media platforms, Hemp Lucid. And then my personal social media handle is Chase Hudson IM. There I post a lot about, you know, just family stuff and combo. You know, I'm really starting to kind of step into the combo practice and really starting to find my voice in that area and really start to educate people on combo and the peptides and working with it and what I'm seeing in my essentially just practice and working with combo and other people.
Thank you, Chase. Guys, check out Chase's stuff. I'm sure his products are great, and especially if you're getting ready for the retreat and you want to get off the sleeping pills. Not medical advice, of course. None of us are doctors. Just some educational stuff. Thank you, Chase. It was a pleasure. As I hope you enjoyed this episode, if you like our podcast and would like to support us and Psychedelic Revolution at large, please follow us and leave a like whenever you're listening to this podcast. Nothing in this podcast is medical advice. It's intended for educational purposes only.